And welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of The Beast from the East by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm currently in the middle of my own little goosebump story, where I came home from work and there's a big-ass box sitting on my doorstep, and my girlfriend's at work till 11, and the box is addressed to her, and I'm like, this is weird. Well, it's not weird to not have a box. It's weird because I texted her about it, and she's like, I have no idea what it is. However, here's the little goosebumpsy twist to it. It's sent from Salem, Massachusetts. This is a big-ass box, clearly sent from a witch. Possibly full of demons, and it's sitting right next to me. So if you hear any demons, then just hit me up at Dune on Twitter, at the Facebook, facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps, or Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com for the old email. You know, I'm around. I'm doing stuff. That being said, I'd be happy to dive straight into the goddamn Beast from the East. And I'm drinking a motherfucking Steel Reserve, yeah. Chapter 16. Nat peered down at me from the top of the tree. What's wrong? He called down. Come down, I screamed. The branches! I was too late. The upper branches grabbed at Nat's arms, pinned them to his side. I saw him gasp in shock. Other branches lashed out, slapping at him, penetrating him Evil Dead style, whipping him. Ginger, Nat screamed, help me. What could I do? I gazed up in horror as two lower branches reached up towards Nat. The top branches passed down to the lower branches. The branches wrapped him up, hugging him tight. Aww. This isn't happening, I told myself. This can't be happening. Nat's feet dangled in the air. He kicked furiously at the tree. Let me go! Let me goo! I don't know what that was supposed to be. Go! But when I see a couple O's together, I call that an oo. You know what I'm saying? Goo? Like the kid's friend on My Brother and Me? Goo punch, Reggio. More branches lashed out. Some held him tight. Others swiped at him, slapping him. The branches passed Nat down. They were carrying him lower, down to the center of the tree, where the elves are making crystal meth. They used to make cookies, but I assume they make meth now, because why would you? You have all that equipment in there. They're clearly out of the jurisdiction of, you know, any sort of federal agency of sorts. They're cooking speed. Why not? Everyone likes meth. Have you seen all of the flyover states? They're fucked. Where the branches were the thickest. Where the tree's arms were strongest. Nat cried out. He kicked out again and again. The branches wrapped around his legs. No way to climb up to him. Every branch was thrashing wildly. Even the little thin ones that couldn't reach Nat were clawing upwards, straining to take a swipe at him. As I watched helplessly, because she's a woman, the thick branches pulled Nat into the center. He disappeared. Help! His muffled cry drifted down to me. Ginger, it's gonna swallow me! I had to do something. Had to pull him away somehow. Had to free him from the living tree. But how? We had gotten rid of the snakes. We had to get rid of the branches too, if only. That's it. I had a crazy idea. But maybe, just maybe, it would work. This whole book seems like the Choose Your Own Adventure series, the Give Yourself Goosebumps. Has that vibe to it. It's too ridiculous. That was Snape style. Ridiculous. If the tree is alive, maybe it has feelings, I thought. And if it has feelings, maybe it's ticklish, just like the snakes were. Ginger, help! Nat's cries grew weaker. I knew I didn't have much time. I leaped out of the tree. A branch dipped down and slapped me like a bitch. Bap! I jumped back and scrambled around the trunk. I ducked as a thick branch swung at me. The tree was trying to keep me away while it swallowed my brother and shit. But I ducked beneath the slapping limbs and branches, reached out, and began to tickle it through the rough bark. Tickled it with one hand, then with both. Then I cut the balls, and then I tickled again. Was that a shiver? Did the tree actually shiver? Is this haunted room actually stretching? Or did I imagine it? Please, I silently begged. Please, please let go of my brother. That's the song I wrote when Nelson Mandela was locked up. Please, please let go of my brother. By Dune, age zero, I tickled furiously with both hands. Nat, I called. Nat, can you hear me? Silence. Nat? Nat? No answer.
Chapter number 17.
I didn't give up. I tickled harder. The trunk started to jiggle. Branches of leaves shook free and floated down. They landed in my hair and covered my arms as I jabbed and scratched the tree trunk. I tickled harder. The branches shook and swayed, and the trunk wiggled. Yes, I thought excitedly. It's working. I think it's ticklish. And then the tree started to rumble, and tree skeet, tree skeet, tree skeet. That's not what happened at all. I'm sorry. It probably wasn't even funny. Such is life. I'll make this tree collapse with laughter. I tickled harder. The trunk squirmed under my fingertips. I glanced up. Nat's boots poked through the leaves. Then his legs, his arms, his face. Ew, it's like he was getting birthed. The branches were shaking and quivering and shaking and quivering. Nat swung free. He leaped from branch to branch. His tree climbing skills were finally coming in handy, as you just gave a handy to a tree. Hurry, I shouted up to him. I can't keep this up much longer. Jump. Nat wiggled down the tree. Here goes, Nat cried. He let go of the trunk and leaped into the air. Here goes.
Here goes.
He landed in a crouched position at my feet. Whoa, good job, Ginger. I grabbed his hand, and we hurtled away from the tree. Nat brushed twigs and leaves from his hair, like one of those white kids that goes to, like, you know, Chico State and smokes a lot of weed. That's a really good look. White guy with dreadlocks that they put effort into. It takes effort to get your hair to do that. I get it. You're high. That's awesome. I saw some beasts. I bit my lip. In all the excitement over the tree, I had forgotten we were playing a deadly game. I saw three of them, Nat reported. Flag, Spork, and another with a smashed tail, that way. He pointed to the right. What were they doing? I asked. They were all hiding behind a big gray boulder. You can sneak up on them easily. Right, I rolled my eyes. Piece of cake. You can do it. Nat's dark eyes locked on mine. I know you can, Ginger. Nat led the way. We crept slowly through the woods toward the boulder. The sky dimmed overhead and the air grew colder.
Brr, you know?
It's finally started to get cold in San Diego. It's going to be in 60s all week. Well, right now it's 71, but whatever. I knew that it was nearly evening. Soon the sun would disappear behind the
willow
tree. I hoped I had enough time. There's the rock, Nat whispered. I saw a small clearing in the trees. In the middle of the clearing, a craggy gray boulder arose from the flat ground. I just realized crag was a word, and the super aggro crag wasn't just random sounds put together on Nickelodeon. The more you know. It was big enough to hide a dozen beasts. My heartbeat quickened. I'll hide behind this cabbage plant, Nat said. He ducked behind the plant. I followed. I wasn't quite ready to face the beasts alone. I bent down and tightened my bootlace, trying to ignore the fluttering in my stomach. Just sneak up on them, Nat whispered. Come with me. I begged, just like P. Diddy did over that Led Zeppelin song for that unwatchable Godzilla movie, you know what I'm saying? Nat shook his head. Too noisy if we both go, he said. It's safer if you go alone. I knew he was right. Besides, I told myself it was pretty easy. The beast behind the rock had no idea I was coming. All I had to do was tag one of them. I felt a thrill of excitement. I could do it, and the game would be over. We'd be safe. I took a deep breath.
Ready or not, here I come,
I whispered. I crept toward the boulder. I glanced back. Nat poked his head from behind the cabbage and flashed me a thumbs-up sign. A few more steps and I'd be at the rock. I held my breath. The gray rock rose up in front of me. I reached out. My fingers were trembling with excitement. I leaped behind the rock. Gotcha, I cried. You're it. Here's me like 2 minutes ago.
Oh, I could totally procrastinate from having to read Goosebumps if I just post an Instagram picture notifying the entire internet that I'm reading Goosebumps. That'll be a good use of my time.
God, I'm a fucking douchebag. Chapter 18.
Huh?
My hand swiped empty air. They were gone. No beasts. Only a pile of broken gourds scattered over the ground. I blinked in surprise. Blink, blink, blink. I like that sound that cartoons used to do that I don't think they do anymore. Just when everyone blinks, it's like a little, like, hitting like a wind chime deal. But one chime, and you're hitting it, so I guess it's not a wind chime, it's just a chime. Whatever. And scrambled to the front of the rock. No beasts. They had moved on. Nat, I called. Nat! My brother came jogging to the boulder. What happened? Nothing happened. They're gone. I told him, now what? Hey, Nat snapped, it's not my fault. I stared at him, feeling totally disappointed and afraid. A sharp gust of wind kicked up. I glanced at the sky. Shades of pink streaked overhead. The sun was setting. And soon enough, some douchebag would lie about seeing a green flash. You didn't see the green flash, asshole. There is no green flash, okay? Stop telling everyone you saw it. You're a fucking liar. My chest tightened in despair. My pants bulged in... whatever. It's hopeless, I muttered. Nat shook his head. Do you know what we need? He asked. No. What? I replied. And he pulled out fat blunt of cron, you know what I'm saying? What the fuck? This hasn't been funny at all since I started this one. Stupid Instagram taking away my humor. No, what? I replied. We need another plan. I had to laugh. Nat was such a jerk. He leaned against the boulder and wrinkled his nose. What kind of rock is this anyway? He asked. A creepy one, I answered. Nat peered at the huge rock. Something's growing on it, he said. Well, don't touch anything, I warned. But telling Nat not to do something only makes him do it more. Ah, that's tricky. It's like, hey, ladies, keep your clothes on. No, don't put anything in your mouth. Nat stuck his finger into a hole in the boulder. Oh, that line came right at the perfect time. The big rock trembled. A crack appeared at its top and spread quickly. Nat pulled his finger away. What's happening? I yelled. A cloud of gray smoke shot up from inside the boulder. Kerplume! It's a totally overrated Green Day album. Nat and I ducked, clapping our hands over our ears. The explosion roared like a million firecrackers going off at once. More gray smoke billowed out of the boulder. I could barely see Nat. I started to cough. My eyes burned. Wow. I feel like R.L. Stine was smoking boulders as well when he wrote this. You know what I'm saying? Smoking bolt. He's smoking crack. The smoke filled the clearing around us and drifted above the treetops. A few seconds later, it faded away, and I saw Flag standing in the clearing. Spork appeared behind him, scratching his open eye socket. Another beast followed, and then another. They stared at Nat and me.
You touched the penalty rock,
Flag cried, in a totally different voice than he had previously. What was his voice?
You?
Yeah, there we go. Nat took a step closer to me.
Huh?
Flag nodded to the beast with the smashed tail.
Get him, Glebe!
Flag growled. Glebe's snout tensed. His eyes bulged. He reached for Nat's arm. Wait, stop! I yelled. Nat didn't know it was a penalty.
No fair! No fair!
Nat cried. The beasts ignored us. Glebe scooped Nat up and lifted him high into the air. Let's go, Glebe grunted. Glebe balanced Nat on both paws. Then he pretended to drop him. Nat shrieked. Sorry, I realized somehow this laptop's not getting power. So it distracted me in my reading because I was being like, what the fuck? I know I have this shit plugged in. Why ain't it getting no power? Ah, wait, what if I plug it in right now? Will it short out the recording? Only one way to tell. I'm going to keep talking so you're not bored in your commute or whatever. Oh, wow, I see the problem here. It's not plugged in because I think I just took my drunk ass and was like, here, and plugged it like where the Ethernet cable was and it fell out. Because I'm not good at life. Stop it, I screamed. Let him go. Yes, go, the beasts echoed. They clapped their paws again. Let's go, they chanted. I glared at Flegg. Tell him to put my brother down.
He touched the penalty rock, Flegg explained. He must have his penalty.
But we didn't know about it, I protested. We don't know any of your dumb rules. This isn't fair. That's the excuse I tried to give the cops when I was with an 8-year-old. I tried to grab Nat's dangling legs.
Let me see your hand, Flegg demanded.
He snatched at my arm and lifted my hand close to his eyes. He studied my palm.
Nubloff colors, he exclaimed.
He studied me. That's 50 points. You can't trick me. You've played this game before. You already know the rules. I stared at my hand. Yellow sap from the stick, blue from the leaf of the umbrella plant, orange from the rock. Nubloff colors. But, I stammered. I didn't get these colors on purpose. They just happened. Flegg and Spork exchanged glances.
Come, Flegg ordered, waving to Glebe.
Glebe tossed Nat over his shoulder. Franklin stopped being a dick to Yoda and followed Flegg to the woods. The others stomped after them. Ginger, Nat wailed as the beast carried him away. I ran after them, feeling helpless.
Stop! Where are you taking him?
I shrieked.
What are you going to do to him?
Chugging steel reserve and moving on without taking a chapter break. So, tomorrow I was invited to do one of my favorite podcasts, the Far Out podcast, hosted by Todd Perry and Buck Perez, in Long Beach, but I couldn't do it because I'm going tomorrow to the California Wolf Center to go on a tour that I have a reservation for to go see packs of wolves in like a wolf preservation area. What the fuck is up with my life? Anyway, with a girlfriend and her sister and her nephew. So that's a bummer. I really want to do Far Out, and I hope that that's an open invitation. Is it Todd Perry? Chapter... That's the sound I want to make. 19. I chased after them, down a wide path lined with giant rocks. Yeah, I got a wide path lined with giant rocks in my pants. More penalty boulders? I stayed in the center of the path, afraid to touch them. The beast stopped at the entrance to a tunnel. It was carved into the side of the largest rock I had seen. They ducked their heads and hurried inside. I followed behind, my heart pounding, as if I too was a smoking boulder. Or smoking, whatever. Ginger, Nat's cry echoed off the tunnel walls. The beasts growled and grunted, jabbering in excitement, some pounding their paws in the ceilings as they moved. Everything shook, the walls, the ceiling, the ground. They shook. Oh, Nat, I cried. I couldn't hear my own voice over the noise. Wow, it was probably a bad decision to keep the mic in place with my cell phone, as it just vibrated all over that. I followed the beast out of the tunnel and into another large clearing. "What's that?" I gasped. In the center of the clearing, a large wooden box hung from a tree. It looked like an enormous birdhouse. I saw a tiny door on one side. Above the door, a sign read, "Penalty Cage." Glebe raised Nat high in the air. He held him up for all the beasts to see and spun him around and around. Nat screamed. Spork and the other beasts stomped and clapped.
"No!" I shouted. "You can't do this!"
"He must go in the box," Flag declared. "He touched the penalty rock. It's the rules."
"He touched the penalty rock. It's the rules!"
Glebe tossed Nat inside the penalty cage. He slammed the door. Flag dropped a large twig into the rough wooden latch on the door to lock that bitch. Nat reached through the slats.
"Ginger," he cried, "get me out of here."
The penalty box swung in the air.
"Don't worry, Nat," I called. "I'll get you out."
I shivered. He seemed so small and helpless.
"You can't keep him there forever," I told Flag. "When does he get out?"
"When we eat him,"
Flag replied softly.
Another big shout out to Kyle Stanley for drawing the sweet new logo. And also Dusty Best for the theme song, bro.
Let's get a drink sometime, because I haven't seen you in a while, because I don't leave the house, and I don't like going to Ocean Beach because it's full of people that we went to high school with, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Chapter 20.
"But I'm the beast from the east," I protested.
"You said you would eat me."
I took a step closer to him.
"Players in the penalty cage get eaten too," Flag snorted in disgust.
"Don't pretend, you faggot. Everyone knows that. It's a basic rule." It actually says, "Don't pretend you forgot," but I made a little creative decision there, and I feel like it was the right decision to go with.
"There must be another way to get him out," I said, edging closer.
"Only if he eats a free escape tarantula,"
Flag explained. He scratched the flab under his chin.
"Huh? He has to eat a tarantula?"
I demanded, taking another step toward the beast. Flag narrowed his eyes.
"Don't pretend you don't know that,"
he said, beginning to turn away. I hurled myself at Flag's hairy chest. I slapped him hard.
"You're it, fucker," I screamed, lifting both fists in triumph. "You're it, bitch, I tagged you."
Flag raised an eyebrow.
"Sorry,"
he said calmly.
"I paused the game. It doesn't count."
"No!"
I shrieked.
"You can't. You can't keep changing the rules."
"I didn't. Rules are rules."
Flag reached over me and checked the lock on Nat's cage. It held fast.
"Try again," Spork grunted. "You can always try again."
The rest of the beasts nodded in agreement, grinning and snorting in excitement. I like to get excited, but I don't really snort in excitement. It's a different situation. They were enjoying themselves. They rumbled away from the clearing.
"Ginger!"
Nat cried. He pounded on the box.
"Get me out of here!"
I gazed at him in despair. No way I could reach him up there. He stared down at me through the slats. His brown hair fell into his eyes. That's a lot better than his hair falling into his brown eye.
"Do something," he pleaded.
"I'll try again," I said. It was the only thing to do.
"Can you see them?"
I called up to him.
"Which way do they go?"
Nat pointed. "I see a few beasts hiding over there." "I'll be back," I promised, after I tagged one of them. I tried to sound as if it was a sure thing. I wished I could believe my own words. "You and me both, sister."
"Hurry,"
Nat called after me. A strong wind blew through the clearing, rocking the cage from side to side and back to forth. That's a Loveline reference, so it's very obscure. Nat hunched down, hugging his knees. I gave him one last look and took off. Long shadows fell over the ground. I gazed at the sky. The orange was turning into deep pink. Almost sundown. I plunged into the darkening woods. All around me, I could hear small animals skittering through the carpet of leaves on the forest floor, as if hurrying to be home before sunset. Home, where they were safe. The wind howled loudly through the trees. I stumbled and almost fell over a rotted tree stump. The woods were closing in on me. Time was closing in on me. Time's closing in on all of us. Really makes you think. And then I saw a beast hiding behind an umbrella bush. His shoulders slumped forward, his head bobbing gently up and down. He was sound a fucking sleep. Here's my chance, I thought. I moved slowly toward him. The beast shifted position. I stopped, held my breath. He quieted down again. He must have moved in his sleep. This is it, I thought. My chance. In a second, he'll be the beast. From the east! I rushed forward. I gasped. The earth dropped away. Nothing under me. Nothing but air. Not nothing but net. I felt quickly. Sank straight down. 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 Screaming all the way. You know how successful people are very sure of themselves and the fact that they work their ass off and they always knew they were going to be successful because they had it and they had the drive and work ethic? I had the moment that was the exact opposite of that right now, where I was thinking about the new weekly release schedule on Dune Reads Goosebumps that Lax Dude is very, very sure I'm going to fuck up. And I was like, yes, I can do it. I can do one every single week. I'll get out like, I don't know, 35 or 40 this year. And it's not that I just don't understand how calendars or years work. That's just how confident I am in my ability to not do things properly. That I was like, I'm going to do this every single week. I'll put out 35 of them. It's like, what? Did I just give myself over 4 months of fucking up space mentally? God, I'm a shitty person. Chapter 21. I hit salt. Speaking of 21, maybe that's the problem. Drinking age. Still on my second tall canister reserve. I hit solid ground, hard. The air burst from my lungs. My shoulder slammed against a sharp rock. I cried out, rubbing my arm, struggling to pronounce the word struggling, and also catch my breath. I pulled myself up and stared around me. Too dark. Like our president. I couldn't see a thing. It's over, I thought. The game is over. Hey, is anyone up there? I called. Can you hear me? I stopped and listened for an answer. Any answer. Silence. I forced myself to my feet. My shoulder ached. I rolled it back and forth a couple of times to keep it from getting stiff. I reached out and patted the walls around me. Solid dirt. I was in some sort of deep pit. The kind people dig to trap animals. Now, I was the trapped animal. I ran my hands quickly over the walls. Maybe I could find something to hold on to. Some way to climb out. Like the girl did in The Ring when she tried to climb out of the little, what is that, a well? God, that's a first world issue, not knowing what a well is. And there's all those nail marks. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Yuck, what is that? My hand touched something cold sticking out of the side of the pit. I clenched my teeth and forced myself to touch it again. Yeah, that's what the ladies do. It stayed firm under my fingers. A root, I thought excitedly. Or a root. Some people say that. It's not alive. Yes, it is. I ran my hand further up the wall. The roots were everywhere. As high up as I could feel. Perfect. I raised my foot and stepped on the lowest root. It held. Footholds! I could climb out of the pit. My hands grabbed the longest root I could reach. I pulled myself up. I heard crumbling of loose dirt. I pressed myself against the wall as more dirt sifted down the side of the pit. I sprayed my face. Wait, sorry. Down, more. The dirt fell down and it sprayed her face. I squeezed my eyes shut and opened a liquor store because my... waiting for the dirt to stop falling. Then I found the next route and began to climb again. How much time did I have left? How much time before the sun went down? My shoulder ached, but I had a long way to go. I rested briefly against the wall. Then I continued climbing. Snap! The root shattered under my right foot. My leg dangled in the air. Snap! The root under my right hand popped loose. Hey! I cried out as I felt myself fall. I landed... What the fuck sound did my fridge just start making? It sounded like my girlfriend was, like, keeping a bucket of rattlesnakes in there. But I think it was just, like, the ice maker doing shit. That was horrifying. I lay still for a moment, trying to catch my breath. I gazed up. A last bit of pink sky glowed over the pit... over the mouth of the pit. In the fading light, I looked around. I saw the useless roots on the side of the deep hole. I glanced down. Oh, no. There was just enough sunlight to see the ground beneath me. It was brown. And square. A free lunch square. That's what Obama wants to put on every corner, am I right? I got a call from the voting people telling me to vote for someone for mayor. And I was like, oh, no, I don't vote. And the guy's like, oh, you don't vote with this party? And I was like, oh, no, I don't vote ever. Just, it's not something I do. I don't vote. And he was very confused. I was trapped. Trapped on a free lunch square. The beasts could eat me any time they wanted. I froze in panic. I heard rumbling footsteps above me. I huddled in a corner of the pit. I pressed my back against the dirt. This way, I heard Flag shout. She's down here. Adding an extra element to my podcasting routine has fucked up my balance. Chapter 22. Flag appeared in the opening above me. His flabby chin hung down, his eyes locked onto mine. Found you, he cried. Spork slid next to Flag. He grinned down at me and drooled yellow drool. It splattered beside my boot.
Something down there smells delicious, Spork cried. I'm so hungry.
Glebe shoved his furry face between Flegs and Spork's. He smacked his lips. I heard his stomach growl.
Finally, Spork grunted, pull her out. Let's eat.
I covered my face with my hands. Please, don't hurt me, I cried like a little bitch. I haven't done anything to you, Flag shrugged. You play the game. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But you never count your cards when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Spork and Glebe reached down into the pit. Their big paws swiped at me. I pressed my back tighter against the wall. Please, I begged. Please go away and leave me alone. You win, okay? You can have all my points. Points can't be given away, Flag scolded. You know that. The others grunted in agreement. They reached down for me. My eyes searched the pit. I needed a weapon. The roots? I yanked a fat one. I yanked a fat one out of the dirt. Stay back, I shouted, whipping the roots at their paws. The beasts slapped each other on the back and laughed their ugly laugh. You'll be sorry, I threatened. Who was I kidding? This stupid root couldn't hurt them, and they knew it. I was the beast from the east. I was dinner. Flag leaned into the pit and snarled. His claws were only inches from my face. I ducked. His paw brushed against the back of my neck. I felt claws scratch my skin. I jerked away. The hair on their arms stood straight up. Also on my arms. Only on my arms. If only I could burrow into the earth like an animal, I thought. Flag's paw swiped the air in front of my face. "Stop ducking away!" he shouted. I think he meant to say "stop fucking away," but he sent it via text and auto-corrected. "You're just making me hungrier!" "This isn't fair!" I screamed. He turned to Spork and Gleeb. "I'm tired of this," he complained. "Enough stalling." His round eyes gleamed down hungrily at me. "Get her!" Spork leaned down and grabbed my arm. I felt his claws dig into my skin. He pulled me up and yanked me to my feet. It's all over, I thought sadly. The game is over. I bet it's not, because we're at chapter 23. Sorry, I had to pet the cat.
Hi, Yodi. If you go to the Facebook where I posted a picture like I do with the edited album covers, it's Yodi's face that's on the Beast from the East. Yodi's a sphinx cat, which you think is kind of cool and exotic because he doesn't have fur, but in reality, every time it shits, it smears on his butthole and it's really gross, and he's showing it to me right now.
And he needs a bath like every week, too. That's a hassle. I don't even talk to my other cat. A cloud passed overhead, throwing the pit into deep shadow. Flag howled. He slapped his broad forehead. "Made in the shade," he cried, like a bad trap mixtape name. Spork opened his paw and let go of my arm. I dropped to the ground. I fell to my knees. "Made in the shade," Spork cried. "Made in the shade," Gleeb echoed. I climbed to my feet. The angry voices of the beasts made my head throb. They stomped their feet loudly. "What is going on?" I demanded. "You're safe," Spork replied, sneering in disgust. "This time." "Safe?" I breathed a sigh of relief. "But why?" I asked, amazed. "You're made in the shade," Flag explained. "We can't touch you. It's a free pass, but you can only use it once." Once was enough for me. Fuck, I hoped. I didn't plan to play this game forever. "We have to let you go this time," Flag growled. "But you're still the Beast from the East."
"You still have to tag someone before sundown,"
Spork agreed. Gleeb sighed. The three beasts turned to the woods. "We'll go now," Flag announced.
"Wait," I scrambled to my feet. "How do I get out of here? How can I tag someone if I'm stuck in this pit?"
Flag rolled his eyes. He reached down and pressed one paw against a purple rock on the ground near the edge of the pit. The pit floor creaked and groaned. Then it rose up, higher and higher. Finally, it jerked to a halt a few feet below the ground. I was close enough to stare at the beast's ankles. I could see shiny black bugs crawling in their fur.
Oh, no, they need Comfortis and Capstar and shit. I think I said that regarding Advantage last time. Whatever. Or maybe Frontline. I don't use that shit anymore. I use, like, the fucking dank-ass Kron version.
I swallowed nervously.
Was this some kind of trick? Or was I really safe?
I still need help to climb out of here, I told Flag. Flag pounded on the purple rock again. The floor started moving.
Franklin!
This time, it stopped level with the ground. I hopped off the free lunch square. The beast circled around me.
The sun is almost down, Flag warned. This game is almost over.
You don't have much time,
Spork added. Flag snorted. Then he turned and lumbered away.
Good luck,
Spork cried as he hurried after Flag. Gleeb followed. They raced back toward the stone tunnel. Stone tunnel's another way of saying tight butthole.
Wait! I yelled. I ran after them as fast as I could.
I raced into the rock tunnel. I could hear the beasts up ahead of me. They growled and grunted, scraping their claws across the walls and ceiling again, making a racket. I saw them burst through the other side of the tunnel. They split up, running in different directions. Which way should I go? I knew I couldn't waste time. I followed Flag. He wove in and out between the trees. He leaped over some scraggly bushes. I panted, straining to keep up. Flag picked up the pace. Faster and faster. I could barely keep up now. I was gasping for air like Dune was gasping for Steel Reserve. Wait! I shouted desperately. Wait! Flag glanced over his shoulder. He disappeared into the trees. I stopped running after him. Overhead, the sky turned purple. Soon, it would be completely dark. I spun around, searching desperately for a beast to tag.
Yoo-hoo! Over here!
I heard a call. I whirled around. Spork. He waved to me from between two tall trees. I raced toward him. Spork lumbered down a twisting path. I followed him. What else could I do? Suddenly, my foot caught on the rock. I sprawled into the dirt. I forced myself to get up. The woods were quiet around me. No beasts. I wanted to scream, so I did. Flag! Spork! Glebe!
Where you niggas? I shouted.
How could I tag them? How could I find them? My eyes scanned the area. What was that? I squinted harder. Yes, a blue, furry head.
I was going to make a grimace joke, but I realized I'm colorblind. I don't know if grimace is blue or purple.
It popped up behind a bush. My last chance. I gathered my energy and sprinted toward the bush. My hand reached out. Tag, I yelled. Your...
Chapter number 24.
Grah!
The tiny beast pawed the air.
The baby beast. The only beast under 3 feet tall. Too short to play the game.
No fair, I thought. Ian Watkins doesn't think that this beast is too short to play the game.
My hopes were crushed. Again, I picked up a rock and heaved it into the woods.
Where is everyone? I screamed.
Come out and play.
That was me emptying, or using an empty tall can to hit a tall can with like a quarter left in it. I thought it was going to be like the Warriors, but in all reality, it was just annoying.
The little beast patted its claws together and gurgled happily. I stared at it. Why was it here all alone? Then it hit me. Of course, there must be another beast nearby, a grown-up beast to watch the kid, one over 3 feet tall, one I could tag. I checked out the area, trees and large rocks. I would have to search behind every one of them. Taking a deep breath, I tiptoed silently through the trees, stopping to peer behind each rock. Crunch! My foot cracked a pile of twigs. I stood completely still. And waited. Silence. I moved forward. I listened carefully. Silence. I crept forward. A beast had to be somewhere, but where? Then I heard a noise. Mumbling. I crept behind a bush and inched closer to the sound. It came from behind a tall, jagged rock. I peeked out. Spork! Yes, Spork stood behind the rock, talking to himself. He scratched the lumpy scar on his nose. I could easily tag him. But was this another penalty rock? Would it go up in smoke? I didn't want to end up in a cage dangling above the ground, so I avoided going into weird industrial clubs that still exist for some reason. Like Nat. Poor Nat. I took another deep breath and inched closer to Spork. Spork turned and searched the woods behind him.
Little beast, he called out. Is that you?
I dropped to the ground and waited. My heart pounded in my ears. I forced myself to stay quiet. Spork didn't move from his spot. He sighed and started mumbling again. Three more steps and I could tag him. Two more.
This is what the Lynyrd Skynyrd song was about. You know, all you need is a couple steps so you can tag a beast.
I wiped my forehead one more.
This was too good to be true. Spork had no idea I was behind him. I smacked him hard. "You're it," I shriek. Spork gasped in surprise. His big paws shot up into the air. I thought he was about to faint. "I've done it! I've done it!" I cried happily. I was free. Nat was free. Spork grunted and raised himself up. He towered toward me. He didn't seem the least bit upset. But he had just lost the game. You're it. By the way, you know, like, kids that are gay, and be like, yeah, dude, when I was, like, a little kid, I knew I was gay and shit like that. And I had my weird straight moment because I have a weird memory of me being, like, 5 or 6 and going to my mom being like, sometimes when I see girls, my wee-wee feels weird. Oh, kids are fun. But the point is, if you were playing tag and you knew that in some that somewhere deep in you that you were transgendered, it must be really frustrating for someone to be like, you're it! Be like, no! I just want to be called she or her. You're it! And you're like, fuck. God damn it. That's all. That's the only point I'm making here. I repeated, you're the beast from the east. Spork raised a paw lazily and scratched his open eye socket. I felt a chill of fear. What if Spork refuses to obey the rules? Sorry, Spork said softly. Not this time. Hey! I shouted angrily. You have to obey the rules. I tagged you. Fair and square. Spork stared at me, as if I were being very funny. Something was wrong. But what? What was it? Why didn't he say something? Spork's lips curled into a nasty grin. All right, Franklin. When I say chapter, you say 25. Chapter. Franklin, when I say chapter, you say 25. Chapter. Fuck you.
You tagged me from the west, Spork whispered. It doesn't count.
I could feel the blood rush to my face. No fair. I tagged you. I tagged you, I wailed. Spork shrugged.
You have to tag me from the east, remember?
Spork's little eyes nearly disappeared as his face crumpled in laughter.
You're still the beast from the
east. I groaned. How could I have forgotten? That was the most important rule of all. How was I supposed to know which way was east? I couldn't even see the sun anymore. My head throbbed. My whole body ached. I was sore and hungry. Spork stood there, shaking with silent laughter. Oh, I guess that example was terrible silent laughter as it made a noise. Here, I'm going to do it again. All right, that was silent laughter. I glanced at the darkening sky. Wait a minute. I climbed up on the boulder. The sun was setting behind me. That was the west. In front of me was the east. I studied Spork. Without flag around, the big beast seemed less menacing. Harmless, almost. Did he make that harmless almost instead of mostly harmless, the Hitchhiker's Guidebook? After all, he was supposed to be babysitting, and what happened? He'd lost the little beast, and now he was so busy laughing at my mistake, he'd practically forgotten about me. Hey, Spork, I called. Do you want to play one of my games now?
But we're still playing this one.
Spork blinked in surprise. I'll pause it. It's kind of boring anyway, isn't it? I asked. My game is lots more fun. Spork scratched the hole where his eye used to be. He pulled a big black bug out of it and tossed the bug away.
What's your game called?
Freeze Frame, I answered quickly. Nat and Pat love to play this game. We spin around, and when I say stop, we freeze, and if one of us can keep our balance and not fall over, and see if one of us can do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying.
Sounds fun. Spork agreed. Why not?
Okay, then, I said. Let's try it. Spin, I shouted. We both started to spin. I peeked at Spork. His arms swung out as he whirled around. Faster, I called out. Much faster. Spork whirled faster and faster as he turned around in circles. His tail swished against the bushes. I jumped out of the way. Spork started to wobble.
Game unpaused, I shouted. Spork didn't hear me. He teetered and stumbled into a tree. Freeze, I shouted. Spork froze in place. I leaped at him, tagged him hard. From the east. You're it, I shouted. I backed away. I tagged you from the east. This time you're really it. Spork placed both paws against his head and closed his eyes. I could tell he was still dizzy. He spread his legs and balanced himself against the tree. My girlfriend's other nephew, not the ones going with us to see the wolves tomorrow, that's like two, has discovered that you can catch a nice buzz off just twirling around in circles quickly, which I didn't know kids did, and he does all the time. Which is, like, not a good sign for his future with addiction. I'm sure I did that. Now look at me. Look at me! Sorry. So, for Christmas, he got, and I chipped in on it and stuff, the, like, a little tractor that you ride around has two controls, but if you put one control forwards and one backwards, it spins tightly in circles, and he immediately used this expensive, awesome present to start catching a buzz off just spinning in circles. Ah, what a solid little dude. I love that little kid. He bopped himself in the face with his paw. You did it, he agreed. He ran, his bumpy tongue over his lips. He exhaled a deep breath. I'm it. He admitted, yes, 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 I cried. I jumped up in excitement. Spork popped down against the boulder. Ew, I just spit. I'm free, I shrieked. The game is over. I clenched my hand into a fist and pumped my arm. I'm going to rescue Nat, I said. Which way is he? Spork pointed his clawed finger to my right. We're out of here, I shouted. I'd never been so happy in all my life. Well, Spork, old pal, I said, beaming at him. This is goodbye. See ya.
Not so quick, Spork said. I'm afraid you can't leave.
Chapter number 26.
Forget it, I said. You can't change the rules again. No way.
You can't leave, he repeated. The game continues until sunset.
He glared at me stubbornly. I gazed at the sky. The purple was fading to gray. Not much time left, but enough. I wasn't going to be it again. I could hide until dark, but where?
Don't just stand there, Spork warned. You could be tagged again.
Never, I insisted. I won't let it happen. Before I could move, Flag stomped from behind a tree. The flabby skin under his chin swung from side to side like a blinged-out rap chain. Gucci!
Gleeb crept behind me. She tagged me, Spork told them.
I knew it! Flag stared at me. I knew you played the game before. I balled my hands into fists. I was angry. I had enough of this fucking bullshit. They forced me to play their stupid game, but I wasn't going to lose. I wasn't going to wind up a loser like Dune.
Oh, by the way, now I'm drinking a Bellhaven Scottish Ale that's supposed to be poured into a glass, but no way, Jose. I'm not doing more dishes.
Flag waved me away. You have until a count to trail, he said. Then we're allowed to come after you again. He turned his back and covered his eyes. Gling. Prue. Diarrhea. Z. Freen. Wretched cunt. Trell, he counted. I had no choice. I ran. Don't stop, I told myself. Don't think about anything. Run. Find a place to hide. Don't stop thinking. Ready or not, here we come, I heard Flag cry. Behind me, the beast growled and grunted in excitement. I hurled myself off the path and pushed through the tall, scratchy trees between. A small crowd. Words are hard.
pushed through the tall, scratchy grass between the trees. I jumped over a clump of cabbage plants. My leg ached, my feet burned, but I couldn't stop. Not until I reached a hiding place. I skidded to a stop when I heard rushing water. I nearly fell into the stream. A large blue fish leaped out of the water and snapped at my ankles. This was no place to hide. I turned back into the woods. A cold wind blew in my face. The gourds whistled their strange melody.
Yeah? Does my ability to not sing make it so no one knew what the fuck I was just doing?
Here I come, Spork shouted off to my left. I pushed myself faster. No way he was going to tag me. I glanced around. Which way? A rock tunnel. I saw it only a few feet away. I darted into the darkness. Without the beasts yelling and shouting, it was eerily quiet outside. I slowed down and tiptoed through the tunnel. When I reached the other side, I crept into the dense trees. I slumped against a tree and waited, trying to keep quiet. I was breathing so hard I was afraid the beasts could hear me. A moment passed. I felt the trembling that meant the beasts were approaching. I held my breath and ducked beneath an umbrella plant. Seconds later, Flegg, Spork, and Glee burst out of the tunnel and raced down the path. Four more beasts followed behind them. They passed the bush where I hid, crashed into the woods, and kept on fucking going. I waited to make sure they were gone. Silence. I breathed a heavy sigh of relief. I scrambled to my feet and stretched. Something rushed at me from behind. No! I cried in terror. Two arms wrapped around my waist. A creature threw me to the ground. I bet it's one of her brothers hugging her. Chapter 27. I thrashed and kicked wildly. Stop it! Cut it out! A familiar voice demanded. Nat, I screamed. I whirled around. Nat, you're safe. How do you get out of the cage? Cage? What cage? Nick Cage? My brother squinted at me. The penalty cage, I declared. Nat, how did you escape? Did they let you go? I'm not Nat. It's me, Pat, asshole. Pat? I stared at him in confusion. Then I threw my arms around his neck. I'd never been so happy to see him. Where have you been? I demanded. Where have I been? Pat cried. Where have you been? I've been searching everywhere for you guys. These woods are creepy. He glanced around. Where's Nat anyway? Trapped. I started to explain. See, there's this closet, and there's an affair going on, and also, Nat is R. Kelly, and somehow there's a midget, but I didn't actually watch that thing because I don't want to watch the work of a fucking child molester. See, the beasts got him. After you ran into the woods, we had to play this game, and a game? Pat cried. He shook his head in disbelief. I was lost in the woods, and you two are playing a fucking game? It's not what you think. I checked the trees around us for any sign of the creatures. They forced us to play, I told Pat, lowering my voice to a whisper. It's like tag, only they play for keeps. I was the beast from the east. And right, Pat rolled his eyes. Really, I insisted. This game is deadly. You have to believe me. It's like huffing jankum. Why? Pat shrugged. You never believe me. Why should I believe you? Because if we lose, they'll fucking eat us, I told him. Pat burst out laughing. I'm serious. I grabbed Pat's shoulders and shook him hard. I'm telling you the truth. It's dangerous here. Flegg and Spork are after me right now. Pat twisted out of my grasp. Right. Flegg and Spork. Woof woof. Pat barked like DMX. I hiss like someone with parcel tongue. Keep quiet. I pulled him behind an umbrella plant and shit. Pat, you have to believe me. They're all around us. They could get us if we're not careful. And I suppose this game is their idea? He asked. Yes, I answered. And I suppose they can talk, Pat went on. In English? Yes, 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 I insisted. You're weirder than I thought.
Pat said, shaking his head. So where's Nat, for real? A deep growl echoed off the nearby rocks. This way, a beast bellowed. Near the tunnel, heavy footsteps pounded closer. The ground shook under our feet. Pat's eyes widened in shock. He reached for my arm. It's them, I exclaimed. Now do you believe me? Pat swallowed hard and nodded his head. Yes. I believe you.
She's over here.
A beast shouted.
He heard us,
I whispered in Pat's ear.
Run.
Pat and I took the fuck off. We raced through the woods like Kenyans, leaping over fallen logs, pushing sharp branches out of our faces. This way, I called. I grabbed Pat's hand. Stay low. We ducked into a thick clump of trees. Spork thudded past us. I could hear him sniffing the air. God damn! Can he smell us? Pat asked in a whisper.
Shh! Shut the fuck up!
I pressed my fingers to my lips. We crept between the bushy plants. Flag appeared, stomping in our direction. I dropped to my hands and knees. I pulled Pat down beside me. Flag thudded past us. I knew we weren't safe. More beasts would follow, and one of them might find us. I motioned for Pat to follow me. We scrambled deeper into the woods. The trees were close together here. The bushes were so thick, I couldn't see between them. I flung out my arm, feeling my way. My hand brushed against something. Something big. And warm. And furry. Oh my god, it's probably ready to yiff.
Chapter 28.
God, that must have been annoying to listen to. I leapt back, crashed into Pat. What had I touched? The bushes parted and a strange creature bounced out. I had never seen anything like it. It had the body of a dog, as big as a German shepherd, and the face of a squirrel. To Dune, it seemed cute as fuck. I don't believe this, I thought. It could talk, too. In here, quiet, the dog urged in a scratchy, squeaky voice. I used the exact opposite voice of that. Its squirrel nose twitched. Its bushy dog tail thrashed from side to side. Could we trust it? In here, it squeaked. It waved a paw in the air, pointed to a bush of big orange leaves. Pat held back, but I crept forward. I spotted the entrance to a cave hidden behind the leaves. It's a good hiding place, I told Pat. It's the hiding cave, the dog squirrel announced. The hiding cave is the place to hide. Quick! The animal held the leaves aside for us. The ground shook. I turned and saw furry blue beasts in the distance. They were moving quickly toward us. Better do it, Pat, I said. Pat hesitated. I yanked his hand and pulled him after me. I bent down to enter the hiding cave. I suddenly remembered what happened when Nat touched the penalty rock. The thought made me shiver. Would we really be safe in the hiding cave? Thump. Thump. The beast drew closer. Pat hesitated and held back. Where are they? A beast shouted. I recognized Flag's voice. Where are they?
They must be nearby, Spork answered.
The squirrel dog stayed outside. It let go of the orange leaves. They sprang back into place, hiding the cave entrance. Pat and I crouched inside, hidden from view. We huddled close together. The air felt damp inside. It had a sour smell that we tried to ignore. I slumped against the wall of the cave and wiped the sweat off my forehead. I tucked my feet under me.
Try to get comfortable, I whispered to Pat. We might be here for a long time.
Something tickled my neck. Checking for nabs, Apple? Yeah? Yeah, David DeMarco reference? No? All right. I reached to scratch it. Something tickled my ear. I shivered. I brushed my hand against my ear and felt something crawl onto my cheek. Ow!
I cried out as I felt a sharp bite on my shoulder. I turned to Pat. He was slapping at his ears and his neck. Something buzzed past my ear. Something skittered through my hair. I shook my head hard. My whole body itched and tingled every inch of me. Beside me, Pat squirmed and wiggled, scratching and slapping at himself. I leaped to my feet. Help! I cried. What's happening? What's going on in here?
Chapter 29.
Help! I cried, scratching desperately. Help us! The squirrel dog's face poked into the entrance. What's happening to us? I cried, squirming and scratching.
I forgot to tell you, the strange creature whispered. The hiding cave is also a hiding place for bugs.
Bugs? Ah! Pat let out a low moan. He rubbed his back against the cave wall, scratched his hair. The bugs were everywhere, crawling on the walls, flying through the air, going in and out of my orifices, buzzing, whistling, clicking. They crawled up and down my legs and arms, all over my face, in my hair. Yes, the curtains and the drapes. The carpet and the drapes? Whatever, it was on my pubes and shit. I picked some kind of worm off my cheek. I dragged my hand down my arms and my bare legs, brushing bugs onto the cave floor. Pat squirmed next to me. Get them off of me, Ginger, he wailed. Help! Shh! The squirrel dog stuck his nose back into the cave. Quiet! Here comes the beast from the east. Don't make a sound or it'll find you. Pat and I drew closer together. Come up here, Franklin. Come here. I held my breath and tried not to move. I counted to 10. Silently, I pretended there were no bugs on me. I shouted. I shut my eyes and pictured my bedroom, the posters on my wall, a sweet tie-dye background with a yin-yang in front of it, which was super cool in the 90s. My comfortable canopy bed. I thought of being under the covers, going to sleep. I'm sorry, Franklin. Just calm down for a second. Sorry, Franklin's on my lap, but he doesn't like when I stop petting him to adjust the book on the fucking tablet I'm reading it from. And then I thought about bed bugs. I couldn't ignore the insects crawling all over me. It was impossible not to think about them. I couldn't stand it. I needed to scratch. I needed to scream. I couldn't sit there another second. I heard a beast stomp close to the cave opening. I recognized Spork's voice.
Hey, he snarled at the dog squirrel. Have you seen strangers here?
Did Spork know this creature? Were they friends?
Answer me.
I waited for the squirrel dog's answer.
Please tell them.
Please don't tell them we're hiding in here, I prayed. Please. A fat, wet bug landed on my face. I picked at it with my fingers. It clung to my cheek. I pulled harder. I couldn't tug it loose. I felt a scream building inside of me. I couldn't take it another second. My mouth opened. I had to scream. I had to.
Chapter number 30.
Ah! I clamped my hand over my mouth and let out a tiny squeak. The orange leaves rustled. Flag's paw pushed into the cave entrance. I froze. I heard Pat gasp. What's in here? I heard Flag ask the squirrel dog.
Bugs, the squirrel dog replied. Thousands of them.
Millions, I thought bitterly. The bugs crawled over my face, my arms, my legs, my hoo-ha. They buzzed my ears. Flag pushed his nose into the cave. I stopped breathing. Flag sniffed.
What is that awful smell? He complained. Insects, I heard the squirrel dog answer.
They stink, Flag muttered. He let go of the leaves, then snapped back into place.
Whatever.
Only bugs in here, Flag reported to Spork. No humans.
Of course not, the squirrel dog said calmly. The humans went the other way.
Why didn't you say so? Spork shouted to the other beasts.
They're not here. The other way, quick. Only 12 minutes left to play.
I'll find her,
I heard Spork tell the others. I have to tag her back. No human's gonna make me the beast from the east. I heard their footsteps pound in the other direction. Only 12 minutes. I didn't know exactly what Trell meant, but I knew the game was nearly over. If Spork didn't tag me back, my brothers and I would be free to cop. But I couldn't take another second in this bug-infested cave. I moved to the entrance on trembling legs. I itched so badly, I could barely control my muscles. I peered out of the cave. "Are they gone?" I whispered to Squirrel Dog. "For now," he answered. "Let's get out of here," I called back to Pat. I sprang out of the cave. He jumped out after me. We frantically brushed bugs off her skin and clothes. I scratched my head and rubbed my back up against a tree. Pat stomped his feet. "They're even in my boots," he wailed. He untied his laces and pulled off his boot. He shook it upside down. 100 black bugs poured onto the ground and scurried the fuck away, like those awesome little black soot sprites in Spirited Away. Or my neighbor Totoro. "I'm never gonna stop itching," I wailed. "I'm gonna itch for the rest of my life."
"You'd better hide," the Squirrel Dog warned. "They could be back, and you're only allowed to use the hiding cave once a game."
Pat and I thanked the strange creature. Then we plunged back into the woods. I hadn't been in this part of the forest before. Pat and I pushed our way past a row of high bushes. I stopped. A giant willow tree stood up ahead. Its branches spread low, sweeping against the ground.
The Golo Willow?
It had to be. I glanced around, searching for a hiding place. A long, low rock stretched beyond the tree. Only a few minutes left. "Quick," I whispered, grabbing Pat. I pulled him behind the rock. "This must be the Gullah Gullah Willow, Gullah Gullah Willow Willow," I told him. "When the sun sets behind it, we'll be safe." Pat nodded, but didn't reply. He was breathing hard. He scratched his cheeks, still itchy. We were both still itchy, as if we got scabies from making beautiful love to one of those kids that you see holding those signs up when you go to New Orleans that are trying to get stuff from you, and you're like, "Yo, bro, I ain't got no money." "Stay down," I warned him, "and don't touch the rock." We crouched together in silence and waited. My heart slammed against my chest. My skin tingled. I huddled beside my brother and listened. Silence. The whisper of the wind through the trees, no other sound. "Are we safe now?" Pat said in a trembling whisper.
"Not yet," I answered.
I raised my eyes to the charcoal gray sky. A last ray of purple light spread over the top of the willow. "Hurry," I urged the sun. "Go down. What are you waiting for?" If only it was the sun from Mario 3, when you're like in like World 2 and whatever that stage is. When the sun keeps attacking you, because that sun goes down all the time. That sure does happen in that video game. The sky darkened. The purple light faded behind the Gullah Gullah Willow. Gullah Gullah Willow Willow. Only gray sky now. Night sky. The sun was down. "We're safe," I cried. Jumping to my feet, I turned and hugged Pat. "We're safe. We made it." I stepped out from behind the rock. A heavy hand slapped me hard on the shoulder.
"You're it," Spork bellowed. "You're the beast from the east."
Chapter number 31. Rather than listening to new media, I think I'm just gonna re-listen to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on audiobook. Or maybe Harry Potter.
There's a child crying outside, and I live in an area where there aren't any kids, and it's weird.
Huh? I gasped in shock. I could still feel the beast's stinging slap on my shoulder. "No fair," Pat cried. "No fair." He stared as the beast circled us. Pat had never seen them close up before. "It's dark. The sun is down," I protested. "You can't tag me now."
"Game over, game over,"
Flag shouted. He stepped out of the woods and hurried toward the circle of beasts. I pointed angrily at the Gullah Willow. "The sun set behind the tree. You can't tag me."
The game hadn't been called yet, Spork said calmly. You know the rule. Flag has to shout out,
"Game over!"
before the game can end.
The beasts all murmured in agreement. I clenched my fists.
But...
I stammered. I lowered my head in defeat. I knew they wouldn't listen to me. Pat gulped.
What do we do now, Ginger? He whispered softly. Will they hurt us?
I already told you, I whispered back. They're going to eat us. Pat let out a cry. He started to say something, but there wasn't time. Flegg stepped forward and grabbed me by the waist. He tossed me over his shoulder. The blood rushed to my head and I felt dizzy. The ground was so far away. Spork hoisted Pat over his shoulder.
Hey, whoa, I protested. Put my brother down.
He was your helper, Spork replied. We always eat the helper, too.
Put me down, Pat shrieked. Let me go! But the huge beast was all like, meh, I'm ignoring you. They carried us both into a small clearing. A large stone pit sat in the center. A raging fire burned inside the pit. Yellow and blue flames leaped at the sky like little bee albums. Flag lowered me onto the tree stump. Spork set Pat down beside me. The beasts circled around us, drooling, licking their lips, having pre-cum forming on their fur. I thought I heard thunder, but I soon realized it was the sound of their stomachs growling.
It's Fleld Day, Spork said, smiling. On Fleld Days, we always barbecue.
I swallowed hard. I stared at the flames leaping against the sky. I wrapped my arms around my chest and hugged myself.
Spork poked at the fire with a long metal rod. He pointed the rod at me. Yum, yum.
He grinned, rubbing his stomach. I felt sick.
Gleeb lugged a huge pot over the fire. He set it down in the middle of the flames. Flag pulled some gourds off the nearby trees. He cracked them open and poured their yellow juice into the pot. He collected sticks and leaves and tossed them in, too. Gleeb stirred and stirred. A sour, rotting stench arose from the pot.
The broth is ready. Gleeb announced, not knowing how long it takes to make a proper broth, you know what I'm saying? I turned to Pat.
I'm sorry, I said in a trembling voice. Sorry I lost the game.
I'm sorry too, he whispered, his eyes on the flames. The beast began chanting,
Fleld Day,
Fleld Day,
Fleld Day.
Who brought the barbecue sauce?
Spork added.
I'm starving.
Flag lifted me in his arms and carried me toward the cooking pot.
Chapter number 32!
Whoa, wait, stop!
A familiar voice shouted across the clearing. I jerked my head around.
Nat! I screamed.
Ginger! Nat cried. He ran toward us, waving his arms. What is going on? What are they doing?
Flag lowered me to the ground.
Nat, I screamed, run, find help, hurry.
He stopped halfway across the clearing.
But Ginger, they'll eat you too, I shrieked, run.
Capture him, Spork shouted to the other beasts.
Gleeb and several others took off after Nat.
Nat spun around, stuck it out, and then even white boys had to shout.
He darted for the woods and disappeared into the trees. I watched helplessly as the beast plunged into the woods after him.
Don't find him, I prayed, crossing my fingers. All 10 of them.
Nat will escape, I told myself. He'll climb a tree. He'll get away from them. Then he'll run and find help.
Pat and I stared at the dark trees and waited.
Oh, no! I uttered a long wail when the beast returned from the woods, and one of them carried Nat over his shoulder.
Nat kicked, and he punched, and he felched, but he couldn't free himself. The beast dumped Nat beside Pat and me.
Nat landed hard, face down on the ground. Now they had all three of us a feast.
Spork and Flag gazed at us hungrily. Glebe ran his tongue over his long fang. I dropped down beside Nat. "How did you get out?" I asked him. "How'd you get out of the cage?" Nat rolled over and sat up. "It wasn't that hard," he said, groaning. "The boards were weak. I worked and worked until I pushed enough boards out. Then I broke out." "You should have stayed away," I told him. "You have to run. Now they're going to eat you, too." Nat raised his eyes to the cookpot and the blazing fire. I don't want to play anymore," he stammered. "Nat," I whispered sadly, "I'm afraid the game is just about over."
Chapter number 33.
"Quiet," Flag demanded. "Dinner, stop talking." He stared at Nat. Flag's eyes narrowed. He tilted his head. He whispered to Spork and Glebe. The other beasts moved closer. They were all moving their eyes from Pat to Nat to Nat to Pat to Zack to Jack. They began murmuring to each other, shaking their big furry heads. Their snouts waved up and down as they talked.
"You doubled," Spork said to Pat. "You did a classic clone."
I stared at the beasts, studied their startled expressions. Hadn't they seen twins before?
"You doubled yourselves," Flag declared. "That's a classic clone. Why didn't you tell us?"
Tell you what? I asked. Flag glared at me.
"Why didn't you tell us you are level 3 players?"
My brother and I exchanged confused glances.
"You're in the wrong game,"
Spork announced, shaking his head.
"If you can double yourselves, that means you belong in level 3, Flag said.
He slapped his furry forehead.
"I'm so embarrassed. Why don't you tell us sooner?"
"Well, I told you we didn't want to play," I replied sharply, "but you wouldn't listen."
"I'm so sorry," Flag apologized. "We're only level 1 players. We're just beginners. We're not experts like you."
"Experts?" Pat muttered, turning to me and rolling his eyes.
"That's why we have to play in the daytime," Flag explained. "We're not ready to play at night."
All around us, the beasts muttered and were muttering and shaking their heads.
"Of course, we'll have to let you go now," Flag said.
He scratched at his flabby chin. "Well, of course," I cried. I wanted to jump up and down, you know. Like House of Pain, you know, like Everlast. There's one point where I looked like Everlast a lot, and now it's really uncomfortable. And shout for joy, but somehow I kept myself in control. "That's it?" Nat cried to Flag. "We're free?"
"Yes, goodbye,"
Flag scowled. He rubbed his belly. I heard it growl. "Don't ask again," I told Nat. "Let's just get out of here."
"Goodbye,"
Flag repeated. He waved his paws as if he were trying to shoo us away. I jumped to my feet. I didn't feel tired or scared or itchy or dirty anymore. This time the game was really over. "How do we find our parents?"
"That's easy," Flag replied. "Follow the path," he pointed. "Follow it through the trees. It leads back to your world."
We shouted goodbye and took the fuck off. The narrow dirt path twisted through the trees. Silvery moonlight danced over the ground.
"I'm so glad you guys are twins," I exclaimed.
I've never said that before, but I really meant it. They had saved our lives. The trees thinned out. I could see a full moon climbing up over the dark treetops. I felt as if we were running to it, running into its warm, warm light.
"Mom and Dad will never believe this story,"
I said, drinking heavily. "What a..." I planned to tell them every gory detail. "They have to believe us," Pat declared. "It's all true." I put on a burst of speed. Oh no, no more snorting. My brothers ran harder to keep up with me. I couldn't wait to get back. Mom and Dad would be so worried.
"Oh,"
I gasped and skidded to a stop. Pat
and Nat stumbled into me. All three of us struggled to stay on our feet. A huge beast had stepped out from behind a tree, blocking the path. He crossed his furry arms over his enormous chest. His snout flared as he stared down at us with cold, marble eyes. He opened his lips and growled, exposing his long fang. I wasn't afraid, not this time. Step aside, I ordered him. You have to let us go by. My brothers and I are level 3 players.
You're level 3? Hey, that's great.
So am I, the beast exclaimed.
Tag, you're it.
Oh, what the fuck was that book? Ah, the end, by the way. Obviously the end. What the fuck did I just read? Oh, what I just spent like 2 full nights of my life reading. Oh, God, I'm never getting that time back at all. Please, PayPal, donate. This is not worth it. Or fucking mail me money. I don't care. What the fuck? That one was retarded. And I mean it in like the way that everyone used to say it before fucking Jenny McCarthy became like the Duchess of American politics and said we couldn't call people Riris anymore. What the fuck was that? So kids went camping. No mention of their parents past like the 2nd chapter. Got lost, and then played some stupid games where rules were made up on the fly and had no bearing. And then they finally got out, and then they started again. Oh, fuck this. Fuck that game. Fuck this book. Fuck Goosebumps. Fuck me, Dune. It's gonna muster all I have left in me to tell you, because I don't even know if I agree with it at this point, but stay spooky, bitches.
Let's play together in the bright sunny weather.
Let's all go to Gullah Gullah Island.
Gullah Gullah!
Gullah Gullah!
Lots to see and to do there. All we need now is you there.
Let's all go to Gullah Gullah Island.
Gullah Gullah!
Binya Binya!
Just take your food in your hand.